Exodus chapter 14. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Tell the children of Israel that they should turn and encamp in front of Pi-hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, that's the Red Sea, opposite Baal-zephon. For Pharaoh is going to say about the children of Israel, They're caught up in the land, the wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he will follow after them, and I will be honoured upon Pharaoh and upon all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am Yahweh. And that's what they did. So then, God hardened Pharaoh's heart, but it also says that Pharaoh hardened his own heart. And we're going to read this, we do read this often. And so I think the thing is that God will confirm us in the attitudes we want to have. And that is how the Holy Spirit works and how what is called the evil spirit from the Lord works. If you want to be soft before God, he'll help you to be like that. But if you want to be hard before God, then he will harden you. And Pharaoh is the great example, I'm afraid, of a man who wanted to be hard-hearted, and so God confirmed him. That's why you can never take a holiday, as it were, away from God and his ways, and think, well, today I'll just be neutral, I just won't have any position, a bit of a break from God and religion and Jesus and all that stuff. No, because whatever attitude you take, you will be confirmed in it by God. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people had run away, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. Well, it was turned against the Israelites by God, because he hardened them. So God can turn the hearts of kings, as the proverb says. And they said, Why have we done this, that we've let Israel go from serving us? And he prepared his chariot and took his people with him. He took 600 of his best chariots and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the Israelites, and the children of Israel had gone out with a high hand. But the Egyptians chased after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh. And they overtook them, camping by the sea, beside Pi-hahiroth. And when Pharaoh got near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. They would have seen them coming because of the huge cloud of dust that all those horses and chariots would have sent up. And they were very frightened, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said to Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you done this to us, to take us out of Egypt? Isn't this what we told you in Egypt, saying, Leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. So the people give up very easily. And this is human nature, to give up very easily. And it's part of being a true servant of God that you don't give up easy. And you keep on and on trying for him and trying to keep hold of your faith that he really will save you. And that's what God's name means, Yahweh. I will be who I will be. Quite simply, I will. He will save us. But Israel didn't want to believe that. Moses said to the people, Do not fear. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. For the Egyptians whom you've seen today, you will see them again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you will hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, Why do you cry to me? Speak to the children of Israel that they go forward, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel will go on dry ground through the middle of the sea. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they will chase you. And I will get me honor on Pharaoh and his army, his chariots and horsemen. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen. So God keeps saying, and they will know that I am the Lord. Now that could mean that just as they were drowning, as the water was coming into their mouths, into their lungs, they realized the truth. Just as people who are condemned at the last day of judgment will finally know the Lord, but too late. What it could mean that the Egyptians, this was God's hope, that when Pharaoh and his chariots were destroyed, and all his best horsemen, that the Egyptians generally would then turn to Yahweh, would turn to the God of Israel. Whether that fully happened or not, well, it seems it didn't. But that was God's hope. And the angel of God, who went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from in front of their face and stood behind them. And it came between the army of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to the Israelites. So they didn't come near each other all night. And that is really how God's work is, that it's light to us and darkness to the world. Like when we read of the conquest of Canaan, Joshua going in there and killing all those tribes and taking the kingdom, right, that makes sense to us. But to the world, that's darkness. Oh, how could God allow that? So what is light to us? And what is our salvation becomes darkness to the world. Now, how could a man dying on a piece of wood save anybody? To the Greeks, as Paul says, this is foolishness. And yet it is light to us. This is the greatest truth of all time. And Moses stretched out his hand over the Red Sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land. The waters were divided, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and horsemen. It happened that in the morning watch the Lord looked out unto the hosts of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and troubled the army of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, so that they got stuck. And the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, on their chariots and on their horsemen. Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots, horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them, but the children of Israel had walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus and the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. So, Paul says in Corinthians that we are baptized into Jesus in the cloud and in the sea. Well, a cloud is only water. And so Paul sees that they had water on both sides of them and a cloud on top of them. That's like water. Well, it is water. And he says that in that sense, that was a type of baptism. And so that is really just opening up a wonderful parable that we were in Egypt. We were in the world. We were lost. We were in slavery. We had a pointless life. But God saw that we didn't quite want that. And he brought us out through the waters of baptism. But we're not immediately in the promised land. We're in the desert. And we walk through the desert. God gives us manna every day, like the word of God. And then at the end, we will come into the promised land when Jesus comes back. And so all this opens up wonderfully. And you see how God really was with his people, even though Ezekiel says, well, it doesn't say it here, but Ezekiel says, they took the idols of Egypt with them through the Red Sea. How awful. And in fact, it says in the Old Testament, and Stephen quotes it in his speech in Acts 7, that they carried the tabernacle of their God with them, as well as the tabernacle of God. They carried two tabernacles through the wilderness. They didn't just carry the standards of the tribes, but the star of their god Remphan. And so God is so patient. So patient. And he really, really tried with them in every way, just as he does with us.